So thank you all for coming. We may wonder, what is the value of trying to renovate a temple? Because after all, in this age, the only thing necessary is to chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we do more than chant Hare Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's all we have to do to go back to Godhead. That might be true in one sense, but in another sense, along with chanting Hare Krishna, we have to make the atmosphere conducive so that the Hare Krishna mantra will have the greatest effect. Just like those of us who regularly chant Hare Krishna, we can experience that every day is not exactly the same in our chanting. Some days it's easier and sometimes it's more difficult. Generally it's more difficult, for instance, if we stayed up late last night, later than we're usually staying up. Or we woke up, we didn't have a good night's sleep, or we ate too much the day before, or we didn't eat enough the day before. Somehow or another, or we got into a conflict with our husband or our wife, or our friend or our boss or someone. So, according to the circumstances, then it may be difficult or easier, more difficult or more easy, to chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes the devotees, for instance, they have this idea that if we chant Hare Krishna and it's dark, then we won't become distracted. Generally, if it's very dark and there's no lights on in the temple, the devotees don't become distracted because they're asleep. Nothing will distract them. Nothing will wake them up, probably. But generally when there's lights on, at least we can see who's asleep. And then some fortunate soul might be woken up. One time when I was the temple president of a small temple, I wrote to Srila Prabhupada asking if it was all right if we moved our temple to another place. And Prabhupada wrote back to me, he said, yes, that's very good. He said that if I was sitting underneath a tree and chanting Hare Krishna, no one would come in to listen to me. But because we have these big temples, then people come and they listen. So you should move to a place which is just suitable so that people would come and they can sit down comfortably and hear the philosophy of about Krishna consciousness. So it is not that most of us could go to the Himalayas along with the other yogis and sit on the top of one of the mountains there in our deer skin or underwear on a deer skin and chant Hare Krishna, because we might think more about the deer skin and the lack of, we forgot our heater, etc. We might meditate on something other than the Hare Krishna mantra. But if the situation is comfortable, fairly comfortable, then of course, then we're attracted to go there. If there is a nice temple and it's clean, Prabhupada once said, our movement is meant to become revolutionary clean. Because cleanliness is a sign in the mode of goodness. And therefore it's one of the essential elements of deity worship. But if the temple is run down and there are other living entities living there along with us, then it's very hard to keep the temple very clean. So people are attracted when something appears very clean, well-constructed, well decorated, etc. And then they'll come and they'll have the opportunity to sit in a peaceful environment which is clean, hopefully in the mode of goodness, and which is conducive for inspiring our appreciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Previously, the biggest buildings in a city would be those of the temple, because people were directing their lives towards God consciousness. Nowadays, because God has been put into the background, the biggest buildings are usually the banks, because people no longer go to the church and pray to God to please give me my daily bread, as if God was a baker. Yeah, when you go to the spiritual world, you find out God, he only has one occupation. He's the biggest baker in the spiritual world. And he makes the best bread and cookies. Therefore, everyone likes him, especially the little kids in the spiritual world. Some people have this conception that God is a big baker and that he has this home delivery for bread. If you pray to him, he sends you the bread. So people used to go to the church and pray for bread, because bread, eating, our food is the most important element of our existence. Just like we can have a nice lecture here and even nice kirtan, but if there is no food, or at least something to drink, less people would come. Because food is essential. And therefore, people go to church and they pray for their bread. And that's not condemned, because actually it is God who ultimately supplies everything, especially our necessities of life. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam bahuda nididati kaman. That God is supplying all the necessities. It may not be so obvious, because modern day thinkers or philosophers or scientists or people in general, they think everything has just come about by accident, that there's no reason behind anything. Bread is there because they sell it in the store. Or it's the factories that manufacture the bread. Most people think that milk comes out of a carton in the store. As soon as the carton's there, it fills up with milk. We're disconnected from the actual source. But if one was a farmer, for instance, then one would realize that, in general, even I may have my tractor, I may have my seeds, I may have everything else, but unless there's rain, then nothing will grow. So therefore Krishna says, Anad bhavati bhutani parjana anasambhava, that all of the entities, they subsist on food grains, and grains come from rain, and rain come from prescribed duty, and prescribed duty is based upon following the rules and regulations of Shastra. And it's all based upon the all-pervading Supreme Person. That if we follow his directions, then the demigods who are in charge of air and light and water and everything else that's necessary for our maintenance, they regulate these essential elements, especially air and water and light, are essential for our existence. So nowadays we may say, well, no one's worshiping the demigods, no one's worshiping God, except for a few people. So why is it that there's still light, there's still water, and there's still air? Well, in most parts of the world, you can hardly call it air. It's more like chemicals with a little air mixed in. And even the water, nowadays they're doing what's called fracking in America. So many times people turn on their taps and there is fire coming out, because it's mostly fire. Because the waters, their water has been mixed up with gas, and therefore there's a lot of gas coming out of their taps instead of water. And other things also, different kinds of chemicals. One person, some people in the west part of America, they were opening their taps and gold was coming out. Not enough gold to make any money, just little flakes of gold were coming out. So that's what they could see. The question is what they couldn't see, what you're drinking. Imagine if you're, you know, little flecks of gold come out. What other chemicals and elements are in the water? At least the gold, you know, is pretty. And as far as light goes, well, due to the climate change, many parts of the world, like Belgium, for instance, there's hardly any light. There's a lot of clouds. There's one city I go to every year called Lima, Peru, and practically the whole year it's just covered with clouds. Unfortunately, it never rains. In the 35 years I've been there, I've never had seen it, and I used to live there for a couple of years. It never rained even once. Sometimes there's a little drizzle. You can actually feel it was almost like a little moisture in the sky. So that's a place where there is hundreds and millions of rats because they like the climate. So these things are there to some extent, air and water and light, but not in a regulated way that most people in this world are able to comfortably live. So that's due to lack of sacrifice. So people are replaced, they don't think there's no need to go to God and pray for our bread or for anything else. We just go to the bank and we pray for our loan. And if we get our loan, then we can get our bread. What do we need the old man in the sky for anymore? We just go to the bank and he gives us whatever we need. As Prabhupada said, in one communist country, which happened to be actually China, when the Chinese took over, they called all the peasants and they said, "My dear peasants, we are coming here to give you whatever you need. But if you have some belief in God, then go to your church," I guess some of them were Christians, "and pray for your bread." So they all went to the church and they all prayed for their bread. And then they came back. The communist said, "My dear friends, have you gotten any bread?" And he said, "Not so far." So then the communist said, "My dear comrades, pray to us for bread." So the peasants, they folded their hands and said, "My dear communist friends, please give us our daily bread." So then the communists, they already had their truckloads of bread, and they came and handed it out to the peasants. So then they said, "My dear peasants, who's better? Your God is better or we're better?" And the peasants said, the simple people said, "My dear communist friends, you're better because you bake better bread." So Prabhupada said, if I would have been there, I would have said, "You rascals, but where do you get the bread from?" In America, in order to convince children to eat at McDonald's, because children in America, somehow or another, they start to get some intelligence, and they didn't want to eat the McDonald's anymore, saying it's a dead animal. So McDonald's, what they did, is that they, in front of their stores, in parts of America, they have trees. They've made these trees, and on the trees, they put the hamburgers. So the children could come along and pick the hamburgers off the tree. So they thought the hamburgers grew on trees. Some people are thinking that maybe the bread grows on a tree or something. But actually the bread is ultimately coming by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because people don't know that, they're not honoring God. The churches are generally empty. Instead, the banks are full of people begging to the Supreme bank manager for a loan. Sometimes they can't see the bank manager because they're not qualified. They haven't developed the proper vision. And therefore, they only can see the representative of the representative of the representative in disciplinary succession from the bank manager. But still, if they surrender to the representative, the representative, the representative, then sometimes they'll actually get the mercy of the bank manager. In order to attract people to come to the temples, therefore, we want to make a nice temple so that it's sufficiently opulent that people understand that there's something going on there that demands or requires some respect. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the creator of this universe, as well as unlimited other universes, which all come just from the pores of his body, and that Karadakashaya Vishnu, lying in the causal ocean from which all the universes emanate, millions and billions of them, is just a portion of a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes here, then what kind of reception would we give him? Hopefully a nice reception. Even if the President of Slovenia came here, we'd give them a nice reception. And what to speak of the President of all the Presidents? So he has come here in the form of the Panchatattva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally come, although we may not be as qualified, we may directly perceive that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But anyone who chants Hare Krishna, anyone who renders some service, can understand that the deity is not simply a stone or a statue. It is actually the Supreme Person. So how opulent a situation would we give the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's already here? Of course, the Supreme Lord is not exactly here. He's always in Vaikuntha or in Goloka Vrindavan. Wherever he is, he's always full of bliss and full of knowledge eternally. It's not that when he enters into the body of a hog, he suffers. Get me out of this body. This guy is eating all bad food. I can't take his diet anymore. Just to look at him gets me sick. No, the Supreme Lord, even the heart of a hog, or even lower species of life, is situated transcendentally, and therefore he's always enjoying in the transcendental world. But for our sake, in order that we may be able to appreciate him more, just like if someone comes here and they're surrounded by many associates and they're dressed very opulently and they're being glorified, it is said that if one glorifies himself, then he's considered to be, no one takes him seriously. But even if a very insignificant person is glorified, then he at once becomes significant. Even if Indra glorifies himself, no one will take him seriously. But if he's glorified by others, then he's taken seriously. Therefore, Krishna will be taken more seriously by some people at least, if he's provided with a nice situation where he's being nicely worshipped by devotees. People will understand that someone must have taken him seriously, otherwise why would they provide such a nice place for him to stay in? On the other hand, if we're worshiping God in the shack, then he wouldn't be taken very seriously. When I was in South India one time, in Kerala, I was staying at one Ayurvedic place, and I asked the people there, is there any temple for Lord Krishna? So they showed me a temple out in the middle of a field. It was less than a shack. There was just some kind of like pole where this deity was situated inside the pole. And no one came there. Because they thought if God is so poor, he can't even afford a house. If we worship him, imagine where we're going to wind up. He may even take our pole away from us. On the other hand, the only temple in the nearby region which was had any opulence to it was the Shiva temple, because everyone was going there not to pray for bread, but to pray for an iPhone, which costs a lot more than bread. And therefore they were taking shelter of Lord Shiva. So something was going on there at least. At least iPhones were being ordered. And many, many people came to that temple and whatever their worship or standard worship was there. If we want to impress people, of course, we don't have the means, nor is it necessary, to build a temple of gold. And if we did, people would just steal our temple anyhow. If we had a temple of gold, we'd be asleep at night, and we'd wake up in the morning and we're some robber's hideout with the whole temple there. So in Kali Yuga, it's not a good idea, just like Prabhupada said, we shouldn't have deities, we shouldn't give the deities real jewels, otherwise we'd invite robbers to come. But still we try to make the deities nicely decorated. So similarly, we don't need a temple of gold, but we have to have a nice, clean, well-constructed temple, which actually corresponds something to what people expect the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be worshipped in. Therefore, there's this temple renovation in order to not so much so the devotees in the temple can live a more opulent life, because they'll still have the same little space to live in. We're not building rooms for each one of the devotees. And then the deities keep their same little place here. Now, the actual expansion of the temple is for the glorification of Krishna, and at the same time provide a means by which those who come to glorify Krishna will have a better opportunity to appreciate Krishna and therefore increase their own devotional service. Prabhupada said it's just like if you're nicely decorating yourself, then the decoration in the mirror is also very nice. So similarly, if we make Krishna very nice, we give him a nice situation, then we ourselves will find ourselves in a nice situation too. Otherwise, for most devotees, because in this age, the chanting Hare Krishna is what's essential, we can chant Hare Krishna underneath a tree. Most people will find it very inconvenient to chant Hare Krishna every day underneath the tree, especially when it rains. Therefore, we try to provide a suitable situation by which people can nicely hear and chant together about Krishna, and therefore be able to appreciate fully the holy name, and at the same time, fully understand how the holy name has expanded itself, himself and herself in the form of these books, in the form of the deities, in the forms of the devotees who are representing the holy name, and therefore creating an atmosphere which is just suitable to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and gradually revive our dormant love for Krishna. So I'll stop there. Any questions? So this is not going to be a instant project, just like most of our projects are, we like to have things quick. Someone may ask, well, how many days is it going to take before we have our temple? Is it going to be tomorrow? Or maybe it's going to be next week? But sometimes it takes things some time, just like a very valuable tree, like a macadamia tree. I think it takes like 20 years to grow a macadamia nut. So that, does that mean that we should give up growing macadamia nuts because it takes too long? No, one king heard that it takes so long to grow this very special type of fruit, so he said then plant it immediately. Even though it may take some time in order to produce its first fruit, but we shouldn't hesitate then. So similarly, the temple may take some time, but if we participate in helping the temple, then gradually our temple within our heart, because devotional service is sometimes compared to the sowing of a seed within the heart of bhakti, which gradually grows into a creeper and then sprouts into a tree and goes to pass Vaikuntha, pass Brahman, pass Vaikuntha, and it goes to the spiritual world, to the lotus feet of Krishna, and there it sprouts fruits and flowers. So as much as we help, just like one time Prabhupada was talking to Bhagaji in Vrindavan, and Bhagaji was helping the construction of the temple. Actually, there's another devotee. There was a Mr. Seth who was helping with the construction of the temple in Bombay. And Prabhupada told him, he said that as you're helping construct this temple, so at the same time Krishna is constructing a house for you in the spiritual world. So luckily Krishna is a lot quicker in his construction. We make it back to the spiritual world early. We don't have to worry how many days left Krishna before I can move in. But Prabhupada was encouraging Mr. Seth that as you're helping to construct this temple, so Krishna is also constructing a place for you in the spiritual world. So that applies for all of us. So thank you. Khala. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ljubljana temple construction ki jai. Renovation ki jai.
His Holiness Prahladananda Swami ki jai.